Welcome to the 412-411. My name is George Colombo, and I'm your host for a brand new podcast from UA Local 412. If you're a plumber, a pipe fitter, a welder, or an HVAC service technician in New Mexico or the El Paso area, this is your source for the news you need about what's going on in your market, in your industry, and in your local. Twice a month, we'll be bringing you all the information you need to stay on top of the issues and news that affect your work and your livelihood. And we're going to get started with a look at the recent launch of Local 412's brand new mobile training unit and the impact it's going to have on you. And who better to talk with about that than my friend Joan Baker, your political affairs director and 412's director of outreach and engagement. Joan Baker, it's great to see you.
It's good to see you again.
You and I have sat down before, but this is the first time we're doing it under the auspices of something brand new, what we are calling the 412-411. Let's start with that. Tell us about this new podcast.
Yeah, so at the Local 412, I am the Director of Outreach and Engagement. Engagement of our members. And what I have found is that our members want to be informed. And our newsletter doesn't always do that. They're not always able to make it to the general meetings. Maybe some of them aren't on Facebook or other social media sites where we share information. So this is a new way to share information with our membership and get them excited and engaged about what their local's doing.
And it really gives us an opportunity to discuss things in depth, to drill down maybe a little more than we would do in a newsletter format or on social media.
Exactly. Like, it's better than just a graphic snapshot of something happening, but that we can really delve into what's happening at the local and stuff that the members really want to know about.
Well, speaking for myself, it's a pleasure and a privilege to take part in it. And I'm looking forward to this journey with 412. And we have some really exciting stuff to start off with. I saw you on Tuesday up in Española.
Yeah, we launched our new mobile training unit at Northern New Mexico College on Tuesday.
So let's talk about that. First of all, what is the mobile training unit?
So it is a 38-foot Winnebago that has been outfitted to be a classroom. It will travel and take skilled trades training out into rural and tribal regions in New Mexico.
One of the things that really impressed me at the rollout was just the commitment and the insight about bringing training to people for whom it otherwise wouldn't be accessible.
Exactly. So as you may know, New Mexico is the fifth largest state in landmass, but we're very, very rural. And we need to get out to people where our training centers aren't located or they can't get access to the type of gold standard training that our local offers.
So tell me a little bit about how this project came about before we get into the nitty-gritty of what it is exactly. What was the thinking at the very beginning, and what were the objectives?
So I had not been here very long, and business agent Art Sparks was connected into a network of people in northern New Mexico who were working on a grant. And one of the reasons I was brought here was to do that type of work. He plugged me into this group and this network. And when they were talking about the grant and what piece we may want, believe it or not, I was sleeping one night and was like, I want a mobile classroom. So I went
a moment of epiphany.
Epiphany. And so I went to our business manager and I said, hey, Courtney, working in this grant, I really want to try to have a mobile classroom for the challenges that we see in getting out into rural and tribal communities. And he says, well, yeah, sure, try it. We wrote the grant.
And this is when exactly?
We wrote the grant in October of 2021.
Okay.
And we wrote the grant that was included. So the exciting thing is that we have this groundbreaking historical mobile classroom, and it was all paid for by a federal grant.
That's excellent. That's excellent.
Yeah, and so it will go across the northern central counties. That's where the grant has it kind of locked into for mm-hmm. 2 years. But it also, the grant also pays for the instructor and the supplies and the classroom materials, the gas for the mobile training unit, its maintenance, its internet that it must use. So the grant will cover the programming completely for the first 2 years.
What was the inspiration for this? Where did the idea come from?
When I first came here to the 412, we sat down in a strategic planning session, and we identified our strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And we identified that we were weak in our outreach to rural and tribal communities. And just going with a solution-based mindset, number one. And number two, for those members who don't know me, I came from a grassroots organizing background. And the fundamental principle of that is meet them where they're at. And this mobile classroom embodies that.
And it's not, it is literally meeting them where they're at, not just, you know, conceptually. It's, we're going to you.
Exactly, yeah. So it's really exciting. The graphics on it are amazing. So what is being trained out of that mobile classroom is pre-apprenticeship or apprenticeship readiness.
Tell me more about that.
So apprenticeship readiness, those on the mobile training unit are not yet apprentices, but they're going through a set of curricula to get them prepared to come into our apprenticeship.
And these are young people who are out of high school or still in high school. Where are they?
So apprenticeship readiness can be run with any age group. Currently, we are working with 18 to 24. The grant has us focusing on anybody who is unemployed or underemployed in the region, not depending on age. But we can take the mobile classroom to high schools and do skilled trades camps and things like that. They just won't count towards the grant deliverables until the 2 years are up. But we can do whatever we want in high schools, in high school outreach. But the curriculum that's being taught, the MC3 NAB2 curriculum, I have done the work. And the business manager has done the work to get that curriculum accepted by the public education department as acceptable curriculum, and they get credit for dual enrollment for doing this particular curriculum. So when we do go to high schools, the curriculum we're teaching is accepted by public education department.
Is there a precedent for this? Is this based on something that you had seen before, or is this a brand new concept?
So I'm sure it's been done other places. When I first started to have the concept, I didn't know about it existing anywhere. The Department of Workforce Solutions just launched a Be Pro, Be Proud semi-trailer, but that is not for training. That is virtual simulations to engage high school students in getting excited to maybe pick up the trades as a career, but that is not an actual training mechanism. Our mobile training unit is a classroom. It's a training mechanism. It has a TV on the outside so that they can roll out the canopies, they can turn on the television for a presentation, and they can do hands-on soldering. On Tuesday, they were welding. They were working on electrical projects. All of that right out. We don't need a facility to do those things. We just need this unit.
And how many students can it accommodate?
10 at a time.
That's a class.
That's a class, yeah.
Wow. So where, tell me what the rollout is going to look like beyond just announcing it. I mean, where does the mobile training unit get driven to, and where is it parked next?
So the mobile training unit has a website through the WIND Network, which is who originally got the grant. We were what's called a sub-grantee off of them.
Okay.
And people can go there to request the mobile training unit to come into their community. They can reach directly out to me.
And let me interrupt you. Who would be making that request? Would it be school systems? Would it be community-based employment initiatives? How would that happen?
Yeah, so a nonprofit, a county commission, a local school district, a college, any community member can go in and make that request that they want this mobile training unit to come into their community. For the first 2 years, it must be in those six counties in north central New Mexico. And then I will work with them to do a community needs assessment. How many classes do they need me to hold? Do they just want the apprenticeship readiness, or do they want me to work with journeyman test prep? Do they have Spanish speakers in their community so that I can prepare for bilingual education? Because our instructor is bilingual, and we have bilingual materials. So we'll do a community needs assessment, and then we'll set it up with that community from the time frame and location and those types of things.
So while the training unit is fulfilling its grant obligations in northern, it's going to be situated mainly in the northern part of the state. What is the impact for your broader membership? What does this initiative mean for your members?
So it means quite a few things. So the UA, Local 412 is stronger as we grow membership. We keep market share and we keep jurisdiction when we can fulfill the manpower calls that our contractors have, right? That's really important. The other thing that it does is it is saving our members money through training. So when these participants go through the mobile training unit and go through the MC3, they're going to get a six-month credit when they become an apprentice. So for example, knowing what our training costs are, and so far we've put 15 people through the apprenticeship readiness. They've become apprentices. They've gotten their 6 months credit. On grant money and money from outside of the union, which has saved the training center $52,000 just for the first 15 that we've put through. The training center is funded by member money, and so we're saving the members money by utilizing these grant initiatives and these programs to get a heads up on training, as well as, like I said, growing and making sure that we're securing market share and the jobs of our members.
So it's basically a strategic initiative to make 412 stronger in this market.
Exactly. And in the northern region, you know, we do have LANL, Los Alamos National Labs, but not many other employers in that region. And so when we show our presence there, when we show that we're there training and we are turning out highly qualified, skilled tradespeople, then it makes contractors want to be a part of this. So it helps us grow our presence and our work in that region, so that if we have members who live up there and don't work at LANL, they can hopefully work closer to home because we'll have more of a presence and more work there.
Well, it's a very, very exciting project. And it's a great looking vehicle. It's kind of like a Batmobile on steroids.
It definitely is. And, you know, a very interesting story. When we were working on creating the wrap, the graphics for this, the gentleman I was working with in Denver, Colorado, surprised me with the graphic on the door that says there is no substitute for UA skilled craftsmen. And I said, well, where did this come from? He says, my dad is a retired UA Local 3 member. And when he retired, they gave him a plaque that said this, that sits on his fireplace. And he told me that needed to be on there. So it was just so exciting that a retired member from a different local had some input in the crafting of this beautiful, I mean, it's a giant billboard, really.
It is. It's great looking. It's imposing. And that's such an interesting anecdote, tying this, what seems to me to be a cutting edge initiative, into a longer history of the UA.
Yeah, definitely. And the other really exciting thing I wanted to tell you about from Tuesday was the UA International representatives came in. So we had Bob Darby, we had Larry Bowman, and we had Darren Jones, who were all sent here on assignment from General President McManus to share in this celebration with Local 412 as a national celebration. And what this doesn't just mean for our local, but what this shows nationally that the UA stands for.
Well, I that's so clear to see when you were standing there and seeing the unit itself and listening to what everybody said. This is quite a bit of leadership.
It is a lot of leadership, you know, and it takes vision, and it takes thinking outside of the box, and the willingness to, I mean, just my position here at Local 412 being created is vision. Somebody who's out there looking for federal grant money. So when we first got this grant, the federal organization who was giving it to us didn't know how to give one to a local union because they had never given one to a local union before.
Wow.
Just historic and monumental on the leadership that it takes to do this type of work and to bring in federal funds. But there's a lot of accountability when it comes to federal funds as well. So that's where we kind of talked about, like, for 2 years, the mobile training unit is here, because you have to follow the grant guidelines and grant deliverables. But after 2 years, I can take it to Zuni. I can go to El Paso or Presidio County in Texas, which is a very rural place. So I look forward to, you know, the next 2 years building a solid model and then being able to share it with the rest of the jurisdiction, including Texas.
Well, I'm looking forward to following that process as it unfolds and covering it here on the 412-411.
Thank you. It was great to share this. And thank you, George. I'm excited to start doing this podcast. So we will have different people speak in every podcast. So they'll be able to hear from the training center. They'll be able to hear from different business agents, members, and the apprenticeship council. So looking forward to just really sharing rich information on what's happening, what's going forward, and all the exciting things that our members have coming for them.
And without giving away too much right now, I do want to tease the idea that we're looking at ways to make the 412-411 interactive and give members an opportunity to participate in what we're doing here.
Exactly. We're hoping very soon that members will be able to call in and get on-air answers and to their questions that maybe they don't get a chance to answer all the time. So, for example, if they know business agent Justin Forning is going to be on talking about something, they could call in and they know that they have questions for him and they could get those answered without having to, you know, emails, phone calls,
yep.
voicemails, all of these things that we have for communication. And it's still hard to stay in touch as busy as this local is, that this is another way we can do that.
Well, I am, as I said, I am honored to be part of the process, and I look forward to working with you on this, Joan.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks again to Joan Baker for a great overview of a project that I think demonstrates real vision and commitment to training and supporting skilled workers in communities that need them the most. Hey, listen, before we go, I want to remind you that your next union meeting is this Friday, December 8th, at the Hall in Albuquerque. It's important for you to attend this meeting, but to tell you the truth, it's important to be there for every meeting on the second Friday of each month. You get to connect with your union brothers and talk directly to your leadership this Friday at 7 p.m. And one more thing, the family Christmas party is at the Hall on December 16th. Mark your calendars now for the year's biggest event for 412 members and their families. Listen, we hope you enjoyed this inaugural edition of the 412-411, but we promise to do better next time. So join us for the next edition of the 412-411.
I've said it before, I'll say it again. If I were looking for a good job that lets me build some security for my family, I'd join a union. If I wanted somebody who had my back, I'd join a union.